because, you know, the circumstances, what was going on, there was a big storm. They had to cut these scenes because they couldn't shoot. I mean, it was crazy.
Right. Yeah. I did a film a few years ago where we were rapidly losing daylight. And so the scene that we were doing wasn't going to make sense. So the director came up to me and he said, "You're a writer. Come up with this, you know, like, I need to film this other thing. You're a writer. I need you to right now write a scene that will fill in the gap and make sense for it to be later in the day." Like, oh, okay. No pressure, you know.
This is Real Independent Film. My name's Brenda Daly, and I am actor, producer, making big gains as a podcaster, speaking about relationships. Hi, Tanya. How's it going?
Hi, Brenda. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. I'm excited to have you here. So I wanted to know is what have you been working on lately?
Wow. Almost too much. Almost. I just wrapped three things. I did a proof of concept with someone last week. For a bigger film, I did a short film last Sunday. I wrapped that. And then the week before, I finished a 2-week feature film shoot called Dark Angels, The Demon Pit. And I worked with some pretty cool people on that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I actually saw that. I was looking at your IMDb page. It's funny because you're talking about like romance stories and everything kind of goes into a separate formula. I'm writing this screenplay that I have to have finished the whole from start to finish November 30th. So that's been quite the challenge. And I think that when you're talking about love and relationship, I think every story, and it really doesn't matter what the story is, whether it's sci-fi or action, is there's always, you always have to have a love interest or it doesn't make the story move forward.
Even if it's a friendship love interest, you know, even if it's just two friends growing together and becoming stronger as a friendship. There has to be, I write about relationships and desires. That's what I tell people. Sometimes it's romantic and sometimes it's obsessive, you know, but it's still relationships and desires. And I've read lots of books on relationships, both for my own life and to help the people who, you know, it's like, well, God has me doing this. I'd better learn what I'm talking about before I share the information with people. And then a lot of the tips that I got from the 52 Love thing came from some of my characters. It'll be things that they decided to do. And it's like, oh, that's a good idea. You feel like, I didn't even think of that. My character thought of that, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think we get a lot of our life experiences from the acting gigs that we take.
Yeah.
I actually just turned down one because it just... I think when we're talking about branding, like, especially when you're doing a podcast, and then of course, you know, you're trying to make yourself a standing in a community, because we have such a small community out here. And then.
Right. Yeah. I understand that there are certain things you don't want to be associated with, no matter what they're paying.
Worry about those things. I think in today's climate.
Well, definitely. And for me, because I'm an actor of color, I don't want to perpetuate negative racial stereotypes with the roles that I play either.
Exactly. And, you know, and a lot of times when you get cast in things, you don't want to take things that are negative, feel and believe. And a lot of times there are a lot of stereotypes. And it's like, I want to play to that? Do I want to be branded as the person that does that?
Well, there are some people who have made their careers off playing the bad guy. And I don't have a problem playing a villain, but I need to be able to come to some understanding with what that character is thinking. Like there are certain roles I will never take, and that's anything that hurts animals. Just not going to happen.
No, I totally agree.
As long as we don't count people as animals, of course.
Right. I mean, I don't mind playing a murderer or anything. I guess it would be the context, based on the context. And, you know, it's funny because my daughter and I were talking about castings and, you know, everything's like, you know, when they post casting, and which is fine. And then, you know, whatever they decide, African-American, whatever they decide to put on castings. And my daughter said, wouldn't it be a great world for an actor to just have somebody say female, this character's female. No race, no age. See what people bring to it and then cast it.
Right. Unless it has something to do with the actual storyline, I don't think that we should have to narrow it down so specifically by race and age, and sometimes not even gender.
Right, right, right. Actually, it's funny because we're writing this thing and then we're talking about the best friend and we were talking about her and I was like, and then she was the girl I'm writing it with. She's like, well, they should be about the same age. I go, why? I go, I have best friends that are much older than me and much younger than me. I don't think it matters. Not right. Especially in the context. It doesn't matter because it's the guide. In this particular situation, it's the guide. So it doesn't really matter.
As long as it's within the context of a relationship where they have a friendship and they support each other, age does not matter.
Exactly. So that's why we're just going to leave it open. Although we were thinking about making her American Indian only because of the spiritual factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because we're doing kind of like a spiritual thing. And so we thought that would be kind of cool because we were going to make her a hippie and then she's kind of earthy. And then we started thinking about, an object that we wanted to use. And that was kind of more American Indian. So, but it doesn't really have to be. We just thought that would kind of bring a cool factor to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll wait and see who shows up for the audition process and then you can decide.
Right, right. But I've already totally put this object in there, but I guess it doesn't really matter. It just kind of went along with the story, but because you're writing it, I guess you can change it to whatever you want.
Right. And I'm sure you know from filmmaking that sometimes the script has to be fluid. Like once you're on set, things are changing.
Constantly, And I think that's a really good point. As I know when we were up filming, they were cutting lines like crazy. Have you written any of these threes that you've worked on?
No, none of these are things that I wrote. I do have someone in the film industry reviewing. I actually have two people reviewing a feature that I wrote last year during lockdown, which is based on my novel that I'm working on trying to get published with my agent right now.
Okay. What's that called?
That's called Dark Beacon.
Oh, okay.
So it's not available yet. It's written and I'm working with my agent to shop it around. While I'm shopping around my nonfiction book, which is 52 Love. So, we have our hands full with that.
Oh, well, that's nice. So what got you into becoming the relationship specialist?
People have always come to me for relationship advice. Even as young as a child, people would come to me. And I write a lot about relationships. And whether it's romance genre or not, there are always relationships and love stories involved. To be romance, you have to follow a certain formula where there's always a happily ever after kind of scenario. But a love story just means that there is a relationship that has love involved. It doesn't necessarily mean it follows those tropes. And so, I've done my research in my own life. I've counseled people. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a licensed therapist, but I have worked jobs where there was a chair in front of my desk that people called the therapy chair, and they would just come there and sit and talk to me about their situation and their love lives and their struggles. And so I have been counseling people unofficially for years. I write about love all the time.
You're right. It's funny that you say that because, I bartended for 25 years. So
right. So, I mean, you understand.
Think I should be doing, especially, I'm married, 30, I got adult children. I don't know if I want to put my, I don't know, embarrassed.
Even if you haven't been married all that time, maybe there are people who maybe are going to have that. You don't want to have these embarrassing things to share with your grandchildren that didn't exist at the time, but
Right. Well, that's what I kind of would do with the mom squad thing is we're kind of, because you have to kind of think out of the box, especially during the whole, but they want to be involved.
I did a film last year that I co-wrote a short film last year, right after lockdown started, where everyone filmed from home. And then it was the editor's job to put it together and make it a movie without anybody filming together.
It was 48 hours.
I saw that. That was really cool.
Yeah. So we did like one about it was I can't remember, it was quarantini, and then the other one was I did we did one where they we did a trailer. It's actually my favorite one because we did a trailer. We had to mix Alien with Thelma and Louise.
That's a
So,
pretty big.
and it was a trailer, and I directed it. I thought it turned out great. Like I had, Cheryl Prater going down the hallway, this dark hallway, and open up the door. And the only thing that was cheesy was the alien shadow. We were like, okay, you couldn't get a better shadow than that. But other than that, I thought it was fun, and you got to be really creative because you had to film yourself at home with your phone.
Yeah, so much of filming is problem solving, so you learn something, right?
And I think you learn something every day, and that's you produce. So are you going to be planning on writing and producing any film? I know you have that film that someone's looking at. Are you planning on producing it yourself?
Oh, that's one of those stories that I am so married to that it's going to have to go a certain way or I'll never be happy with it. Like, I know I'll never just sell that story. So I,
And
ultimately,
why is that?
because I love the story too much, I'm too attached to it. And when you sell a story, you're no longer in the decision chair, you're no longer the one making all the decisions for it, and I care too much about it to let it go. I know that's not going to be the case for everything that I write, and it certainly wasn't the case for the film that I did last year. That's more something that I participated in, but then you let it go. And I am writing something else right now, but I'm writing it. I'm actually writing two other screenplays right now for other people, but one of them I'm partnering with them in it, and the other one I'm just a hired hand. I'm just the one with the keyboard writing down. It's not my story, but I am doing the actual composing.
Oh, wow, I might need you for this. I think I'm just panicking because everybody's, it's funny when you enter a contest and then you get it because you don't expect to get it, you get it, and then it's like, I think I had four pitches that day for ideas, and I was like, oh my God.
So is this the 777 thing that gave you that deadline?
Yes. And so I was like, I kind of did a little like, I don't know. And then I was literally told by a very good friend of mine that comedy is my thing, and the thing about comedy is that comedy really takes to write it and make the timing work.
Yeah, you have to have your timing right.
Yeah, if you have to write it with the right timing, and then you have to shoot it with the right timing, and then you have to edit it with the right timing. Because if you don't, the jokes will fall flat.
And see, I'm not someone who can write with a genre in mind. I just write the story that the muse is speaking to me and then figure out, okay, where does this fall?
Right. That's pretty much where I am. I usually when I write comedy, I usually think about the outrageous characters, and then what situation and what obstacles will I throw in their way and why that would be funny. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah, and you can have humor and drama in everything.
you kind of throw a little bit of extra in there. Mom Squad's like a quirky comedy, so it's all over the place. But basically I'm writing everybody wants to watch a woman kick ass.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
And I said, well, I could literally, you could do a whole book series on that. That sounds like a book series my daughter's used to. Are you getting a lot of auditions?
I wouldn't say a lot, but part of that is because I'm not going after as many because I am so busy. I've been really selective. So I have two auditions this weekend, but they're both things that I really want to do. I'm not, I used to just, oh, someone offered me an audition. Let me jump on it. Now I have so much going on, and I'm not someone who just wings an audition. I studied the sides and I try to learn the part. You put so much time and effort into an audition that I don't have the luxury of spending that time on a project I don't actually want to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think too. It depends. Does it pay? If it doesn't pay, I mean,
Right.
I don't get paid snob because I've done so many free things, but I'm at the point now where it's like, I think it's just you, if you're not gonna get paid, you almost want to do your own stuff because you're focusing on creating your own work.
If I'm not going to get paid, it needs to be, I want to work with this person, or I really believe in the story, that kind of thing.
Right.
Or it's a role I want to try to play. You know, I'm attached to this role, and maybe I want to expand my range of, you know, the things that I can do. There has to be some payoff, and whether that's monetary or you're expanding your creativity or you're expanding your network with someone that, you know, sometimes you see an up and comer and they ask you to do something and you're like, yeah, because I see you're going places and I want you to remember that I helped you now, you know?
No, I hear you. I hear you. I don't know if that always works though.
That's okay. You just put it out. You put it into the world. And I've had enough people feel that way about me that I feel like, you know, I can give back to other people in that same way. It doesn't have to be complete reciprocation from the same person. I think that if you put it into the world, it'll come back to you. It just may not be from the source that you expected.
Starting out actor, I think you should definitely be okay with, you know, picking up the boom pole or whatever you need to do just to be on set, because you may not know it, but maybe that other PA that you're helping out, maybe he's the next filmmaker.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
The makeup girl or whoever it is, you just never know who's going to pop up and shine. You know, maybe they just get super excited and they write a big masterpiece.
You're absolutely right with that, because the person who was on for that movie that I just did, the person whose job it was on set just to make sure everyone was following COVID compliance, giving out the COVID tests and making sure people were staying safe and clean, you know, doing all of that. That's all I knew him to be for the entire film. And then after the film, he told me he has a screenplay and he's hoping I would consider possibly being in it. When the time comes, see, it's like, I had no idea he was a writer or a filmmaker or anything.
Right. And I think it's all about kindness. I think if you're an actor, I think you kind of want to be a writer, because an actor, they portray a part. They kind of see a story. Like when you write a story and you write a scene, you write it, and then the actor kind of puts their little charm onto it.
Right. Yeah. You have to give them room to make it their own.
But they literally take that character and then it's almost like they rewrite it themselves. And then after a while, they kind of get a knack for it. And then it's like, oh, you know, these are the kind of characters I would like to play. And then that's when they kind of get involved.
And then another reason to write your own work is because then you can control whether there are roles for someone like you. Now, if you're going through and you're just seeing there are no roles that I want to play, or they keep casting me as the silly pretty girl in this scene, and I'm so much more than that, that kind of thing. Well, write the role where you're the kick-ass biker, you know?
No, I totally agree with that. When we were filming up in the mountains, there was this beautiful girl. She was doing costumes. She goes, she dressed herself because she was the costume girl. And, you know, she was dressed very cute, totally adorable. But you know what I mean? But then she says to me, how come I always get cast as the, and I said, sometimes you have to portray yourself what you want to be. You know, if you're running around like you're the nonsensical pretty girl with all, that's the only way they're going to see you. I go,
yeah, you have to be who you want to be so that they can see you in that role.
Right. And even when you go for a role, I've been finding that, because before I used to just go to the audition and not dress as the character. I think it really does help push you through. If you think you're the crotchety old lady, then maybe you should dress like one. If that's how you think the character should be played, maybe the filmmakers see it differently, but at least you get to put your own take on it. And they,
you know, that's funny though, because you're so beautiful, and then you did play the crotchety old scary lady and you played it so well.
But I'm an actor. I mean, I was so excited because all my life I've been a character actor. I literally have never played the ingenue save one time. So I've always played those, like the frumpy friend and I appreciate you saying I'm beautiful, but I'm just saying I've always played those kind of characters. Maybe it's just because that's how I've always seen myself. Not really as the, you know, I always figure, you know, I don't know, I see myself more as like an intellectual type. So, but those are the characters. So I played all kinds of different characters. So when I saw that role, when Kelly brought that up, I was like, oh, I'm doing this.
Yeah, like I don't even know how he saw you in that role because you don't look anything like her. But man, you played.
You know what
that.
I did? I auditioned with very low light, and I wore no makeup at all. And so, and the way I had the lighting, it wasn't very attractive lighting, but I kind of did it on purpose because I knew it was something dark and dreary. So when I did my self tape, I made sure it was very dark and dreary. And because that's what that was my take on it. So I think a lot of these self-tapes, if you bring something a little different that not everybody else is, you know, because you can read aside and kind of see the intention of the writer.
Yeah.
You know,
but look at that. But you took your filmmaking skills and you're like, you know what? I'm going to create this scene and I'm going to have the right lighting and I'm going to do this with my makeup and I'm going to become this character. And that's how you got the role.
Yeah, it's actually, it is performance. And then I did it one time. Let me tell you the story. So I did it one time, right? And then I called Stu Chaykin and said, hey, would you send it in? And he goes, well, you should try this, 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 and this. And so I was kind of pissed because it was like 10:30 at night and I had to go to work. But, mm-hmm. And I had done all this stuff, right? So I was like, shit, because I had put everything away. So I took it all out. I did it again. And then I did it differently. And then I, you know what he said? Well, you decide which one you want to send. I'm like, really? So, you know what I did? I went to work the next day. I was training some kid and we were at lunch and I was telling him about it. I was like, I don't even know what to do at this point. And then he goes, well, why don't you send them both? And I go, I'm going to send them both. So I sent them both, which basically showed two different ways it could have been done.
Yeah. Right? You have to make it very different if you're sending two.
Right. So I sent two. And then that was at noon. And then on my way out, which was 5 o'clock, he called me. And then he starts telling me about the character, about the location. But he never said, oh, you got the part.
Don't you hate that? You're like, why are you talking to me? Please say it. Say it. So I don't know if this is a maybe or like, do I get my hopes up?
No. So it was very cool. But I do like to play crazy characters. And when I auditioned to do Tommyknockers, it was funny because, you know, my daughter's got a degree in acting and, you know, I did my audition with another friend of mine and I did 6 hours. So I thought in my head, I'm getting this part. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it because those guys don't really see me in that way because I've known them for years mm-hmm. and I've auditioned for them before. And I thought, so I dressed up like a saloon madam. And I can totally see that. I totally did that. And then I didn't want to be the saloon madam that just thought of her girls as property, right? I wanted her to be different. And because I am a mother, I thought, you know what? If you lived in those times and you had a couple of saloon girls and you were in a small little town, they would be more like your family. So, and that's how I did it. I did it like I was their mom. They just make me money, but I was more like their mom, not their captor. They're not there because they had to be.
Right.
They were there because I treated them well. And that's how I did it. And when I sent it to my daughter, she said, well, mom, that was so good. She goes, I was not how I read that. She goes, but that's probably why it's so good. I go, well, I could only do it my way because I don't really know what his intentions were.
Right.
How do you approach an audition?
Well, first I sit with it. You know, I do the read it over and over again, the Amy Linden and Paul Campanella method of just read through it over and over and over again. And I find that by the time I've done that and I've really absorbed it, I don't even need to spend time working on the lines. I already have them. It gets never about learning the lines.
It is, you know what? And even if you don't deliver the exact lines, they don't care. They just want to know, do you feel it? You know, do you represent it? You know what I mean?
Right. Do you get it? Do you get the essence of the script? Like, what is the story here? Do you feel the emotions here? And, you know, I go through and I mark it up and write my little notes to myself. And then I only record 3 takes unless, you know, there's a noise outside or my cat decides to make an appearance. I do 3 takes and I pick whichever one I think is best of those 3. I actually
And
love
then
cold reads. Those are my favorite because everyone has the same shot. It's not like someone had this the sides for 10 days and you got it last night. No, everyone has the same amount of time to prepare and you just go on that. And that also lets them know, are you someone who can go with the flow on set? You know, if we give you new lines the day of, are you going to be able to handle that? Or is it going to be, I'm not prepared, you know?
auditioning and picking the character, and I learned to yesterday that when someone puts out an audition notice and they're very vague, it's probably not one I should show up to.
Right. Yes, totally. Where it's like, oh, they're not even professional enough to give me all the information I need, so I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, because what I auditioned with was completely, it was the exact same scene, but they had omitted a lot of the stuff. And it was very graphic, and I had told them when I auditioned, because they asked me a bunch of questions, and they put on there specifically no nudity. You know, they didn't ask for nudity, but you know what I'm saying, they very specified it. It says must be okay with fighting. Well, who's not okay with that?
Right.
I don't want to tell you, it was probably the most graphic thing that anybody has ever, and I was like, yeah, I can't. As a woman, I can't do that. So, and your clothes were on. And I was like, I think I would have been more comfortable naked.
That's funny. This last role
You
was
know
the
what I mean?
most level of undress I've ever done for a film.
Oh, you look beautiful. You look like Cleopatra.
Oh, thank you. I think that had something to do with me getting the role as playing Cleopatra last year because I sent them pictures from that.
Yeah, well, you have a beautiful body, so I don't think you have anything to worry
I
about.
appreciate
And
that, but you know, I'm not.
the thing is I don't have a problem with nudity at all. It's just I don't want to do it because of my age, you know, and I'm married and blah blah blah. But as far as the seeing people on, as long as it's done tastefully, I'm okay. And then if they're just putting nudity out to put nudity out, then I'm not okay with
And see,
that.
I'm not going to
Does that
do
make
that.
sense?
I'm not going to ever do nudity. Like, it doesn't matter my age, it doesn't matter how I look. It's not for other people. To
Right.
me, it's just that's not a part that is a part of me that is available for the world. That's something that I keep just for me and one other person, you know?
Right. But I'm just saying, in general, in films, does not bother me. It's just that it depends on how they portray it.
Yeah. Like, are they doing this to be
Like,
gratuitous or does it make sense for the film? Like, I've written things with nudity in it, but I'm not going to play that role because I'm not comfortable with the nudity.
it's okay to say no.
Yeah, it
I
is.
think it's
It's okay to
okay.
say, I'm not comfortable with this. Things we
But
have to do that are uncomfortable, like you have to stay in this position for too long and make it look like it's not uncomfortable. You know, just talk to any model. They are not lounging. They are twisting and contorting and holding some awkward position and making it look like I like being like this, you know? But and think about what the boom people have to do sometimes to get to stay out of the shot but still be close enough, and they're all contorted against the wall and, you know, one leg up, pinned their elbow on one side. They are the unsung heroes that have to do these things.
I think it's just, I don't know if you saw my daughter's music video that we put out.
Be the determiner of that. You know, we should be the one who decides this is my level of comfort and not decide what other people are allowed to do for their lives.
I think at least by the table read, if you read it and you don't like it, it's okay to walk away and just say, well, you know, if you guys can rewrite the scene, then I would be happy to be part of it.
Yeah, and I have done that. I
But
have said, I am not comfortable with this right here, and it doesn't serve the script to do this. So can we talk? Or, you know, I give them an opportunity. And if they're not willing to change it, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to change and compromise my values.
So, what are your plans for the future? Like,
Right now, I am mostly focused on my podcast, and that's because it's a 1 year podcast. I am not doing it beyond 2021. It's 52 love lessons in 52 weeks, and after those 52 weeks, it's over. So I have to put a lot of my focus
oh,
on that
wow.
just to make sure that I'm putting out one episode per week consistently for this entire year. The good thing about that is that I already
That's
have the topics because I wrote the blog last year. I already have each topic in mind, And I am so involved in the writing community and in the filmmaking community that I have just a plethora of amazing guests who can come on the show and share their work and show that all different types of people can use these intimacy tips. It doesn't matter if you've been married 50 years or if you're just starting a relationship. If you're in a committed relationship, that's all that's required. You can be in a committed relationship with a man, a woman, both. It's all up to you, you know? It's on YouTube and Spotify and a lot of other places that podcasts usually air. And then my agent and I are working to make it a book where you can read through, you know, one tip for each week. And then there are questions that you can go through it at the end of each one and grow closer just by the conversations that you have after using the tips.
You is what woman in film?
I can go with a single woman because it's Michelle Pfeiffer, who is my favorite actress. I respect her work. I think that she is phenomenally talented and she can do such a wide range of characters. But then it was Halle Berry who had me looking and saying, "Oh, look, there's someone who looks like me on screen. Like maybe I can do something like this." And then it was Marilyn Atlas, who is a producer in Hollywood, and I met her a few years ago, and I was pitching my book to her actually a few years ago, and she said to me, "You should not be pitching this as a novel. You're an actor. You should be pitching this as a series, as a television series starring you as the main character." And at the time, I closed that door super fast and said, "Oh no, that's hubristic. I could never write about myself. I could never pitch myself as the star of a show. Like, who does that? You know who does that? Successful people." And I should have taken her advice and pitched her right then. Like, that door was open and I shut it. But she
You know,
inspired me
I
to
think
write
we
it. She
all.
inspired me to do it. It weighed on me and I wrote it. I wrote it as a feature, but I'm working on a pilot too so that I have options. I'm working on, you know, a pitch deck for it. It's going to happen.
And I think too, we are the users of our own talent because we don't we it's what we don't think, and then we can't do it. But if we think we can do it, for some reason, we propel forward.
Right, yeah. And you know what? She's coming to the
And
Las
there,
Vegas
did I
Writers
lose you?
Conference in April, and I am going to pitch her with this again. I'm going to say, "You told me to do this. I was too scared to do it at the time, and now I'm ready." It doesn't mean it's going to go anywhere, but I'm ready to pitch it. You know what I mean? I'm not closing that door on myself anymore. There are plenty of people who do that for you.
Everything's a go, so just do it because I feel like doors are opening up for people that normally would have to pitch to a specific person to get things done, but now you don't have to do that. Everybody's looking for content, and if she was excited about it then, think about how excited she'd be about it now.
I figure worst case, she'll say, "You know, I'm not looking for this, but here's what you can do to make your pitch better," because she's that kind of person. I mean, I'm going to get something positive out of this, even if it's just instruction on how to do a better job and achieve my goal.
I'm telling you, you got when the producers conference comes up, you should go because that they're looking for content that you create constantly, and you always end up in the room with somebody important. I literally went and met when Tyler Perry was opening up his first studio in the airport hangar. I was sitting right next to his right hand girl. So
Awesome.
you just never know who you're going to run into. And then another lady I ran into, she was the executive producer of General Hospital.
Oh my gosh, that's really cool.
It was really cool. And the thing is she had just lost her job from them. She got laid off, or I'm not really sure what the situation was, but she was there working security. So you just don't know who people are. We'll go right back to that. You do not
Right,
know who
yeah.
people are, who are doing what job, because I think the true producer and the true filmmaker will do just about any job to be on set.
And even if they don't have the power, you don't know who they know.
I'm really finding that out. I just went doing the crowdfunding. I had no idea that the people that put in the most money were people I hardly knew.
I mean,
And I was
think
surprised.
about where I am right now, and some people have never even heard of me, and some people consider me an up and comer. You know, it just not everyone sees me in the same way. But 2 days ago, a producer messaged me and said, I worked with you 2 years ago, and I remember that you were a writer, and I'm looking for content to produce right now. I'm not even worried about getting paid for it because, you know, a lot of people didn't get paid last year. I just want people's work. So if you have something, or if you know someone who has a screenplay and they want to work with me, connect us. And for those people who think that I'm nobody, you're probably not going to be the person I'm sending his way, you know?
I don't think people think that you're nobody, because I think everybody knows who you are here in town. We project that onto ourselves. I think anybody who's out
there. Yeah, you are so right. It's like, it's me, Brenda. I'm the one who thinks I'm nobody. You saw right through me.
I feel that way too, though. I'm no friend. I know. Whenever I do something, oh God, what are people going to think? Blah, blah. We're always our own worst enemy, you know.
Are you kidding me? When I met you at Indie Film Factory, I distinctly remember just seeing you surrounded by all these people, and you had these dark, amazing eyes, and the whole room was dark, so it seems like you wouldn't be able to notice something like that, but you just seemed so powerful, and it's like, I want to know her. I can see there's something awesome about her, and I just want to know her, and I never forgot you.
You too. You and Abby. Abby were just like, it was just such a energy that was going on. I feel like for me, because my family kind of thing, but I've always been a performer from the time I was a kid. So when my,
who am I to me?
Right. Because you kind of lose yourself. So I just thought, you know what? I love doing this. So I went to some auditions and did terrible and out there. And I was like, you know what? I really enjoy this. So now I don't think anybody, or at least I don't think I'm real special. I think I'm just very determined. Like, if you give me a project, I will finish it just because I want, it's like a challenge and I enjoy it.
And I think that tenacity makes you special, because most people give up. Most people don't follow through. You're following through, you're putting yourself out there. That makes you special. Imposter syndrome is for real, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it's been super fun talking to you, Tanya, and getting to know you even better. And I am going to work on my assignment, I promise.
Yeah, you have until tomorrow morning, lady.
Let me ask you something. Is there anything, any advice you could give somebody that's just starting out that feels like they're nobody?
I would say that there's always going to be somebody who's not as far as you are in your process. And if you think that you need to do more to establish yourself, it's never too late to start.
I completely agree with that. Okay. Well, thank you, Miss Tanya Todd. I really appreciate you. I'm so glad we had this conversation. It was actually really nice getting to know you on a one-on-one with the world.
Thank you. And I love what you're doing with this show. I think it's awesome.
You and you know, I can literally do like red carpets on my phone. It's actually, I love this app, because I can literally take it on my phone wherever I go. So for me, it's like I do it bi-weekly, which is about all I can manage because of time,
right? But you have a lot of stuff going on. Busy people stay busy, right?
I think we're a little crazy, but it's okay. Crazy's good. Okay, so this is Brenda Daly, and this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Film. And today we celebrated Tanya Todd. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you for having me on your show, Brenda. I'll start saving up for this now, so that come time, if they allow this and you can do the early registration, we'll all save some money.
Yeah, it's worth it. I'm telling you, I try to go every year. That's always my big like solo trip that I don't do with my husband. He gets a golf trip and I do this. Mm-hmm. But it's really fun, and you just feel the energy. And a lot of times you'll have people come in and they'll, a producer, I can't remember his name. I think he got in trouble though. But at the time he was huge, and he was, I can't remember his name. He's an older guy, but he was accepting pitches from anybody at one of the pitch sessions. But he was like, we're starting a new channel, and that's what a lot of these new production companies were popping up in LA when everything was jamming, you know, but he was dead serious. Like he had, like he was our last little session. And it was like a party, you know, it was cool. I don't know how to tell you. It's really, if you're filming, you need to tell me you need to film another day. And it's usually June, but I exactly was, or if.
Okay. Well, I will keep an eye out for it so I can at least, you know, mark that off on my calendar. Like I'm not available these dates.
Right.
I always say, you know, it's like walking. Unless Spielberg calls, I'm unavailable, you know?
Right. Because I'm literally telling you, it's like walking into Oz. And every year it's a different studio lot. And every year it's a different, like different speakers, some of the same speakers, but you're literally getting speakers from the about registering early as a group too, is you can pick up those sessions that you actually want, because they do 4 sessions at once. Choose who you want to go into. So if you have to register early anyway, we get first above the people are PTA members. Huh?
I said that's nice that we get in early if we register early like that.
Yeah, you get to pick your sessions right away, because a lot of those you can't even get into because they're speakers that everybody wants and nobody wants to take the safety class. Because if you don't pick, that's what you get. all important information, but I've taken this class like twice.
You're good. You got it, right?
Yeah, I get it. You got to have insurance and you got to make sure everybody knows you're there. Got it. So yeah. Okay. So yeah, but definitely I'll put you on my list. I think we're going to get four because everybody's now interested, but I think it's because we're growing as a community.
Yeah, we are.
You know? Yeah. So people are starting going, oh, maybe we could be the next Hollywood. I don't want to be the next one of the good films.
Right. Honestly. We want to be Vegas. Let us do it Vegas style.
Yes, exactly. Just be, but not the Vegas style it's been, but the Vegas style where people are showing up and actually caring about what we're doing, not just, right, oh, let's have a party and make a film. Yeah. Okay, girl, I'll see you tomorrow.